let's go to the word. We've been talking about the transform the life, and we've been talking about it for the past 4 weeks. And, we talked about how the transformed life, starts with a crying out, out of our own brokenness, and fueled by fervent prayers, and finalized with finally being perfected with love. So the three things must take place in us as we are being called by God to live, change life, transform life, being transparent with our own brokenness and vulnerability in Christ, and being humble in desperation for more of God through prayers, and finally being willing and allowing His love to overflow through us. So I want to ask you guys this morning, do you have these three things in your life? Do you have the three things in your life? Do you have the repenting heart? Do you have the desperation for God? Do you have love in your heart in Jesus Christ? Let me ask you these questions again. Very important. Do you have a repenting heart? Do you have desperation in your heart? And do you have love in your heart in Jesus Christ? Because without, listen to this, without repenting heart, you will never go to God. Without desperation in your heart, you will never find God. Without love, you will not be known by God. This is very, very important. So now let us continue to talk about transform life. Transform life in Jesus leads you to worship. And that's what we're going to talk about this next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about four different aspects of worship. First, holiness. Second, hope. Third, peace. Fourth, joy. Today we are going to talk about the very first thing, the very first aspect of worship, holiness. Worship is foremost pursuing holiness. Worship foremost is pursuing holiness. Let's go to scripture. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 17. We're going to read this together. I have ESV version. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? You are left without discipline, in which all have participated. Then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we have respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirit and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, and he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hand and strengthen your weak knee, and make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Two keywords. The main verse that we're going to talk about is verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Two keywords from this verse. Pursuing, striving, and holiness. Some translation we use the word pursuing and the word striving. Holiness. The Bible is very clear to you and me that we have to strive or pursue for peace with everyone and for the holiness, because without it, you will not see the Lord. Simple as that. You will not see the Lord. Three implications from this. What it means that you will not see the Lord. That you not experience Him today, day-to-day experiences. You fail to recognize the God's image in others, and you can expect to see Him at the end of your life. This is huge cost. Let me say that again. This is high cost that you pay for not pursuing unity and holiness. This is really high cost that you have to pay. Pursue. The word in diokete in Greek means pursuing or going after something with intention to catch it. You guys hear that? The striving, pursuing means that you're going after something, right? With the intention to catch it. It means you to pursue with all your might and heart. In other words, you are to pursue with great passion. And know that the cost for low or to zero passion has high cost. I was once told by my father to go and kill a chicken. Yeah. I was in Honduras. My father told me to go out, and we had one of the local pastor, Honduras pastor. For those of you who do not know me, my father is a missionary. I grew up in Honduras, and I was in Honduras, and some of the like local pastors gave my father a gift, this chicken, and he wanted to feed us chicken that day, but so he asked us to go and kill the chicken and bring it. So I was like, you want me to do what? I never killed chicken before, right? So. Well, it was my first try, to kill the chicken, so I grabbed the baseball bat. I didn't know what to do, so I grabbed the baseball bat because I wanted to keep the little safe distance, because I couldn't imagine getting close to it and choking it, right? So I was like, maybe just hit it, but my brothers, that's so cruel. I'm like, yeah, that's so cruel. So we decided, you know what, let's just go try to catch it. So that's the first thing we have to do, we have to catch it. We went out to catch the chicken with my brother and I, and we were still trying to catch it in 10 minutes. That thing is fast, and we were still chasing it in 10 minutes into it. We were just going around the house. Can you imagine that these two Korean brothers, running around the house after chicken? It's like, woo, and go get it, right? And it was hilarious. On top of it, I was not excited about it because I simply did not know what to do once I catch it. And I didn't want to grab it. My mind was not exactly there. My father told us to catch it, so we set up a barricade, so that the chicken would get stuck, right? But then you jump over it every time. And my brother was tripping over it. But then, something amazing happened, guys. Something so amazing happened. The chicken flew away. Can you guys believe that? The chicken flew away. Honduras, every chicken in Honduras, they're not farm raised. They all sleep on a tree because, they avoid all the wild animals, right? So they sleep on a tree, so they fly, they all fly. So if you go to Honduras, you won't see a lot of flying chicken. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I guess the chickens, after running for 10 minutes or so, decided I had it, right? It's like, start taking off, like we are like, don't go. Like, bye. We gave up, right?
I was like, but
I think I had, I could have catched it. I think now that I think about it, I think I could have caught it, right? But if I was after it with all my heart, right? Because our backyard is small, and we could have done something better. But my passion was not there, right? My intention was not exactly there, and I was not excited to catch the chicken to begin with, because I was told that, you know, I have to cut the throat, I have to drain all the blood out, and put in the hot water, and then get all the feathers out. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was not excited about that. You know, I have failed to pursue chicken in my life, but that was not first. And not only that, I also have failed to pursue God time to time, right? I was 22 years old. I was 22 years old, and I was so desperate to know where God was leading me to. I was like, God, I have to hear from you. I have to hear from you, but I simply don't know what to do with my life. I don't know where my life's going. My grandfather has called me, and what are you going to be in your life, right? And I was like, God, I just don't know what to do with my life. What is your plan for me? I was so desperate to know. And I wanted to hear from him. And because I really want to live a life that glorifies his name. And I was eager, but I didn't know what to do, where to start. So I was living in Ohio by myself at the time, the state of Buckeye, right? The Buckeye State. And one night, there was huge thunderstorm. Huge thunderstorm, right? It was downpouring so heavy, and soon all the lights went out. All the lights went out, and it was completely dark. And it was perfect weather for me. Usually it's perfect weather for me to sleep. Because I used to listen to, you know, thunderstorm sound effects in my CD player to sleep, and I love that sound of the rain and lightning. But something was different that night. I was looking outside through the window, and I saw all the lightning. Wow, there's so many lightning that night. I was like, you know what? I told myself, I'd rather be struck by the lightning, right, and die than not hearing from God. I don't know what came over me. But you know what? I'm desperate. I'm gonna go out. So it's like I walked out into the rain. I walked into the rain, and in an instant, I got soaked, completely soaked. I looked into the sky. I was like, God, I want to hear from you. I gotta hear from you today. I'd rather die. And but it was so cold. So I went back inside and grabbed a towel over me. And then the rain was hurting me, right? So I was like, okay, before the lightning kills me, I think pneumonia will kill me. So I went in and grabbed a towel and put it over me, over my head. It didn't help much, but at least it dampened the pain I was getting from the like really heavy rain. So I was sitting by the parking lot, the grass area, and sitting in the rain, and I was hoping that lightning not exactly hit me, but maybe next to me. But God speak to me. I was just praying, God speak to me. God, I want to know. God, I want to know. And I was like, and I was sitting in the rain, right? And maybe 30 minutes into it, I was dying. I was so cold. And I'm like, God, please, I want to hear from you. And oh no, I'd rather die. It's because it's so desperate. And then a car pulled in, right? A car pulled into the parking lot. There was a neighbor who lives across from me. And we went into the house. Another car pulled in, and then the person went inside. And obviously, it was raining so hard. But then, maybe like 2 minutes later, I saw the curtain that's being parted just in the middle. I realized that they're poking out, seeing what is this crazy guy doing out in the rain when there's lightning, there's so many lightnings. They're all like looking like this. I see that they had a candlelight, there's dim light in the background, and there's no light, and they're just like looking out to me. So I started having a little fear, like, wow, they may call a cop on me. So I said, before I hear from God, I think I will hear from cops. So they will not be good. They will not be a good way to end the night. So I didn't want that. So I just walked in. I don't know what I was doing. You know, I went out with such a passion, but I just came back in with it. Just, I don't know what kind of fear they kind of came up with. You know, I always think about that night whenever I read the word pursue in the Bible. You know, there was one of my most sincere, like, hungry moments in my life. And I was faced with the fears and challenges that night to stay still and just continue to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Hebrews, in the one of the key things that, you know, it talks about is faith. Not just kind of faith, but the book of Hebrews is very specific. It's a faith that endures. It's faith that endures. That's why one of the main focuses of the book of Hebrews is faith that endures. Because they were faced with they were challenged with a lot of much opposition and persecution already at the time. And it's gonna not only gonna take faith, but it's gonna be faith that endures, right, for them to last. Continue to you know, seek after God, continue to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ and worship, right? Maybe be Christian. And in the chapter 12, we read together, right? And it talks about pursuing holiness. In the midst of that, right? You gotta have endurance to your faith. In the midst of that, it talks about pursuing holiness despite of persecution, right? In the face of serious challenges, pursue holiness. So what is holiness? Bible talks about holiness in many different ways. We usually associate holiness with, you know, being morally good. But when you go through the Bible, you find that a lot of things are holy. Objects are holy, places are holy, people are holy, his temple is holy, a lot of things are holy. You know that the object cannot be morally good. So what is holiness? Bible tells us that holiness is being set apart. That's the most fundamental definition of what holiness is about, being set apart. Well, Bible tells us to be holy. I am holy, therefore be holy. Take up the nature of God, in which he was talking about taking up the nature of holiness. And he also talked about, you know, the parts, partake in his holiness. The Bible talks about encouraging us, partaking holiness, being holy. It's not just talking about being morally good. It's talking about being one with God. Because there is no holiness apart from God. Because God alone is holy. God alone is holy. There's no holiness apart from God. That is why the object and place considered holy, because God was there, because God touched it, because God anointed it. That's why how they became to be known as holy. Bible is very clear. No one was holy. The Bible talks begins with a story of people of God leaving the presence of God. And talks about God who sits in the throne of God, where angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. And he ends with a triumphal victory, where the now faithful ones join God in that place. So how did God make it? How did the story that started so bad ended good? God sent Jesus Christ. God sent his son. And something amazing happened with Jesus Christ. And throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, as you follow, when you touch something that is unholy, you get defiled. If you touch something that is dead, you're defiled. You cannot follow the worship for 7 days. You cannot come to the community for 7 days. You know, they have strict rules about it to teach people about holiness. But when Jesus came, Jesus touched something and that thing became holy. Jesus is holiness in you and me. Even though you are unholy, you can become holy if Jesus touches you, if Jesus enters you, if Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. You know, this implication is huge, because a lot of times I see a lot of people say that I cannot come to God yet. I'm not ready. Well, let me tell you that you will never be ready. You will never be ready. When you find Jesus, you're ready. When you are touched by Jesus, you're ready. When you open your heart to Jesus, you're ready. When you come to worship God, despite of all your shame and guilt, and say, God, I'm in need of you, touch me. That's when you're ready. That's what worship has to be all about. We come together pursuing Jesus. Despite we are shameful, despite we are guilty, we pursue Jesus Christ. Because he is the holiness that you and I need. And when you are touched by Jesus Christ, you can now become one with God. Now you can finally worship God. Yeah. be with Him. This is what worship is all about. That's what we are here to do. You may feel not ready. You may feel like my heart is not ready. You may feel like your lifestyle is not ready. It's exactly there. It does not matter. You are here. Pursue Jesus. That's what we are here to do. You have to pursue Jesus Christ. There we have much encouragement in Jesus Christ, because God said He did not spare His own Son, because He wanted to make you holy so that you can be one with Him. Because unless you are holy, you will never see Him. You will never enter His presence. God had a beautiful picture of having you in His arms. Because of that, God sent His Son to touch your life so that you can be holy, so that I can be holy, so that we can be holy. It's not about what we are. It is not about what we've been until now. It is about whether you are being touched by God or not. That's it. You may be sick as, you know, you may be really sick inside and very wicked inside. It does not matter. Be touched by God, and you become holy. Holiness is Jesus Christ in Him alone. That's what we are here to do as we come together to worship. I don't know what your heart is like. I don't know what the picture of your heart looks like. But we have encouragement in Jesus Christ. Pursue Me. I will touch you. I will make you holy so that we can be in perfect unity. Let me usher you to great God who sent Me to you, because He had a beautiful picture of having you in His house. Because it is absolutely better to be in His house than elsewhere. He knows what you deserve. He knows what you need. And that's why He sent Jesus Christ to you. So let us do that. As we continue to worship God, let us pursue Jesus Christ, our holiness. Let's take time to pray.